This is Bucky Bacaw with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. A little while back, I got an email with a photo attached from Kevin, a regular contributor to the broadcast. Many of my listeners will remember that the original Bacaw flock of three hens moved into Kevin's backyard shortly before various circumstances caused me to decide to leave Boise, Idaho, and move back to my hometown of New York City. Kevin's a good friend and was one of the crew of the Sagebrush Variety Show where the Backyard Chicken Broadcast premiered, and I moved onto Kevin's property along with the hens for a few months, so Kevin had more training than most new chickeners, but he still has a question for me now and then. I really enjoy his questions and updates because he's living with hens that are considered pretty old by agricultural standards, just past the 6 and 7 year marks now. And that means his observations about chicken health, personality, and extended laying years are somewhat rare. And of course I enjoy the updates for sentimental reasons, especially because even though chickening is legal in New York City, and I interact with lots of New York City chickeners, I still haven't secured an appropriate property to do my own chickening. So I get all my fun and new knowledge vicariously. The email I got from Kevin was called Tiny Egg, and the photo was of a beautifully shaped egg with gorgeous color, barely bigger than a quarter, which he included in the photo for scale. For once, I wish this was TV instead of radio, so I could do a zoom shot of it. The Bacaw flock are all small bantams, but normally their eggs are about the size of a small grocery store egg, which, come to think of it, you don't see much anymore in this supersize me age. So, let's say about 25% smaller than so-called regular eggs. I have to digress here to mention that backyard chickeners, including yours truly, can attest to the fact that the small egg of one bantam backyard-free pastured hen who eats bugs and greens and leftover grains is equivalent to at least two corporate-farmed huge eggs in terms of flavor and nutrition. One backyard egg for breakfast on a tortilla satisfies me until midday, and I'm a big hungry fella, but I've never seen an egg as small as a quarter, so I did wonder at first if one of the hens was having health problems. I think Kevin was a little afraid to break it open, it being such a rare object, and possibly medical evidence he wouldn't want to destroy before diagnosis, but he did eventually break it open, and it was an yolkless egg with some small, unidentifiable particles floating around. After doing a little research, we discovered this is a rare but not uncommon occurrence when something, such as a bit of internal tissue that breaks off and winds up in the oviduct, gets surrounded by albumin, or egg white, and a shell, just the way an ova in the oviduct would eventually form an egg with yolk inside. By the way, the ovas that kick off the egg production process are not produced cyclically, as many people imagine, but are in the hen's reproductive system at birth. A pullet is born with a certain amount of microscopic egg cells. The few studies done have shown that number to be at around 1,000 ova, or egg cells, available in a hen ovary, depending on the individual. Few hens, even backyard hens allowed to live out a full natural life, produce as many eggs as are theoretically possible from birth, but none could ever exceed that predetermined amount. I've always wanted an excuse to reveal that trivia on a broadcast. The occurrence of a tiny yolkless egg is not interesting to the handful of salaried scientists who study chickens, since it holds no profit potential and is too rare to impede mass production, so it doesn't have a scientific name. Chickeners call them dwarf, wind, or more commonly, fart eggs. A couple of centuries ago, yolkless eggs were sometimes called cock eggs, believed to be laid by roosters. Indeed, any unfertilized egg was sometimes thought to be a rooster egg. This was a common belief in some places as recently as a century ago, but serious chicken observers, such as Renaissance scholar Ulisse Aldrovandi, profiled on a recent show, have long known better. And there are other kinds of freak eggs. Before the tiny egg email, Kevin called me about a weird egg that I was prepared for, the shellless egg. An egg with the inner membrane, but without a shell. To hold one, it feels like a really thin water balloon. I had learned about shellless eggs when I was researching chicken nutrition, and learned that chickens need calcium in order to make eggs, as well as for bone growth and health. Hens get calcium from processed feed if you go that route. But if you go the natural route, you just need to make sure they get certain leafy greens such as kale, hard shell bugs like earwigs, ground oyster shells, or hens own eggshells, crushed to the point where they don't get the idea they might want to start busting open their own eggs for food. Chickens with a calcium deficiency will eventually stop laying, but first, they may lay a shellless egg or two. Don't be too hard on yourself if a chicken in your care lays a shellless egg. You may have given your hens adequate opportunities to consume calcium, but they chose to eat other foods, for whatever reasons. This is a potential hazard of natural non-processed feed, although hens almost always crave what they actually need. Even when chickens consume adequate calcium, something may go a little haywire in their intake system, or maybe their body directs a lot of calcium to molting, or some other purpose. Finally, in some cases, a shell never forms because the reproductive system simply skipped that step for some unknown reason. The membrane was placed on the yolk and white, and there's enough calcium to deposit a shell, but it somehow slips past the shell stage. Another type of freak egg is the egg within an egg, or a double-shelled egg. It appears when a regular egg that is already in process gets treated like a new ova and gets a whole nother layer of albumin, another membrane, and a second shell. There's only one yolk in a double-shelled egg, but other times two ova start the process simultaneously, and the result is a double-yolked egg. I've seen a bit of variation in egg shape and size. Eggs sometimes emerge in particularly weird shapes. On the PoultryHelp.com website, under Odd Eggs, are a couple pictures of weird-sized eggs that made the news in China. One has a spoon-like shape, and another has what the article calls a tail. Whether that has something to do with Chinese chicken breeds, Chinese environment, or just the Chinese media's interest in weird-shaped eggs, I can't say. I do know that in Asia, certain egg variations are known to be a sign of different kinds of luck, or maybe lucky to eat for fertility, virility, or whatever. All birds have weird eggs from time to time. I remember seeing some in nests when I was growing up, but since wild birds lay much fewer eggs than domesticated chickens, they must be even more rare. You may be thinking that freak eggs don't really fit into my usual backyard chicken stump speech regarding the toxin-free weed and pest control chickens provide, along with their soil conditioning services of tilling, accelerating the compost bin, and fertilizing with poop, and eggs for food, or for some folks, meat. But it does fit into the equally important part of the Bacaw agenda about chickening being intellectually stimulating. You will never, ever see a freak egg in your box from a factory. Nor should you, I suppose, since you're paying. But you're still missing out. Unless, of course, you are on board the Bucky Bacaw agenda already and have integrated chickens into your life. If you do have wacky egg photos, maybe you'll send them to me at bucky@radioboise.org. If I get enough, maybe it'll inspire me to finally update the buckybacaw.org website. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time. Bucky Bacaw's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.